ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ये तु सर्वाणि कर्माणि मयि सन्न्यस्य मत्पराः अनन्येनैव योगेन मां ध्यायन्त उपासते तेषामहं समुद्धर्ता मृत्यु संसार सागरात् भवामि न चिरात् पार्थ मय्यावेशित चेतसाम्।
For those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. First time I said 3 points on this purport. If you remember, the first paragraph, the central theme is God is great and the individual soul is subordinate to Him. Then the second paragraph, purport purpose is work should be done only for Krishna. That is the standard of devotional service. The devotee does not desire any achievement other than pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then in the third paragraph he talks about devotee does not need to wait to become very experienced in any field in order to transfer himself to spiritual sky. The Lord transfers him. Just like a child is completely cared for by the parents. So throughout the scriptures there is explanation about the type of devotee that is being explained here. Devotee is one who transcends the dharma, artha, kama, moksha. The four things which are purusharthas, most greatly aspired by the Vedic followers. And a devotee is also one who is not attracted to the karma and jnana paths. So such a devotional service, how is it achieved? Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam there are many different type of pure devotees who are glorified. Like we study about Ambarish Maharaj, study about Prahlad Maharaj, study about Dhruva Maharaj, we study about Vritrasur, we study about Bhishma, Pitama, Prithu Maharaj. And then in the 10th canto we study about the gopis of Vrindavan. So there are many, many pure devotees. But if one wants to become a devotee of that kind of order, then one should follow in the footsteps of Mahajanas. That is why it is said Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishmo, Balir, Vaya, Sakir, Vayam. These are Dwadasha Mahajan. So once Prabhupada was giving a lecture, in many lectures Prabhupada would quote this often, that if you want to become a devotee, what you should do? Just follow in the footsteps of Mahajanas, Dwadasha Mahajans. And Prabhupada would quote their examples. Following in the footsteps means to study their lives. What kind of devotees they were? How did they express their devotion to Krishna? How did they express their surrender to Krishna? Especially in an awkward situation, or in the most demanding situation, trying circumstances, how they exhibit the devotional service. So once you study them, understand them, appreciate them and apply them in one's life, then one can become a devotee. So when devotees are hearing Prabhupada, they say, Prabhupada said, so these are the 12 Mahajans, Prabhupada said. And one devotee said, Prabhupada, you are the 13th Mahajan. And Prabhupada then told that devotee, you are the 14th Mahajan. So he said, anybody who follows in the footsteps of the Mahajans also becomes a Mahajan. Like that Prabhupada said. So, this is the way to become a Mahajana or a Mahatma. That's the way one can become a proper Mahatma. Mahatma is not a rubber stamp. One has to become Mahatma by following in the footsteps of the other Mahatmas. If you read that verse, Mahatmanasu Mam Partha, there Prabhupada explains that the Mahatmas want to associate with other Mahatmas, to remain Mahatmas. That is actually Mahatmas, the devotees of the Lord. So here, two things are said. One is the nature of a Mahatma, or a pure devotee of the Lord. What are his nature and qualities? And secondly, it is said how the Lord deals with them. How the Lord treats them. Both are explained in this two verses, 6-7. How can one achieve this kind of devotion? Like Ananjayanaiva Mam Dhyayanta Upasate Mai Sanyasya. Giving all the fruits to the Lord. Performing Ananya Bhakti. Constantly thinking of Him 24 hours a day. So in the Bhagavatam or other Puranas you will find, they say that such a devotion is not easily achieved. One achieves such a devotion by severe penances, by performing lots of pious activities, yajna, dana, tapa, and yoga, and by swadhyaya, brahmacharya, and many things they say. And then by doing all these things, at last one achieves devotional service. Sometimes it is explained like that. But that devotional service is not the one mentioned here. That devotional service is actually called as Satviki Bhakti. And devotional service in mode of goodness. Only that can be achieved. Satviki Bhakti means by performance of penances, austerities, yajna, dana, tapa and all that, one achieves something that looks like devotional service, but which is not actually pure devotional service. So that Satviki Bhakti is necessary for the jnanis. Jnanis and yogis, they take help of the Satviki Bhakti to give a lift to their platform. So that, because the jnana is actually dilute and yoga is dilute. And jnana and yoga, they need the help of bhakti. So they use bhakti like a crutch in order to elevate themselves in their own path. That's why jnana mishra, we say, bhakti or yoga mishra bhakti. In order to advance in their own path, they also take shelter of bhakti. Because bhakti is the mother of jnana and vairagya. Like that. So that is all the Satviki Bhakti, which is also mentioned in Bhagavatam. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataka bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Before that, one verse before that. Sitam sattve prasidati, isn't it? Chetayetta tadarajastamo bhava kama lobhadayasthaye chetayetta ranabhidnam sitam sattve prasidati. So this Satviki Bhakti is nice, but it is not the Shuddha Bhakti. It is not pure. Because Shuddha Bhakti is not achieved by performance of Brahmacharya or by Swadhyaya, Tapas, Yajna, Dana. Any of these things, actually that does not produce Shuddha Bhakti. In fact, there is no way or any method to produce the Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha cannot be created. In fact, often the jnanis think that the bhakti marg is one step below jnana. They think that jnana platform is here and bhakti is one step below. They often think that the bhaktas are sentimentalists, chanting and dancing. But we are jnanis. We are very learned in the Vedanta. But at least according to Srimad Bhagavatam, there are clear verses which say that bhakti is by far superior to the platform of a jnani. That's the verse it says, Muktim dadati karhichachma nabhakti yogam. That's the verse. Muktim dadati, the Lord will even give mukti very easily to somebody who is hankering for it, but not bhakti yogam, it says. What does that mean? If bhakti were cheaper than mukti, then the verse should say the opposite. Bhaktin dadati na karichitma mukti. You know, it should say like that. Here it says, muktim dadati karichitma na bhakti yoga. There is another verse, according to Vishwadeva Goswami, which I would request all of you to repeat.
Muktanam api siddhanam
Narayana parayanaha
Sudurlabha prashantatma Koteshwapi mahamune.
So this verse also says Muktanam api siddhanam, amongst the liberated souls and perfected yogis, those who are Narayana parayana are such worshippers of Narayana are actually Koteshwapi Mahamune. You take 1 crore jnanis and yogis, amongst them there is only one bhakta, it says. Such is the rarity of a Krishna bhakta, it says. So these verses very clearly tell us that the devotion service stands supreme in comparison to the paths of jnana and yoga. So such a devotion service is not satviki, it is beyond the three gunas. Like Krishna says, Mamchi Abhyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samati Chitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. So Abhyabhicharani Bhakti means it is not even sattvic, it is even beyond. It is Shuddha Bhakti, pure. Why we call it Shuddha? Not tainted by karma or jnana. It is pure love for Krishna. So the platform of executing pure devotion service for Krishna is explained like this in the life of a Mahatma devotee, like that. And such a bhakti is never achieved, as I was saying, by various means, but by only one means. It has to be begged from the heart of a pure devotee. Only a bhakta who is carrying bhakti, he only can give that bhakti to another person. Bhakti sanjayate bhakti, it is said. That's the only way. So it is explained, Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains in Madhuri Kadambini, how that a Madhyama Adhikari Bhakta is the one who is the distributor of bhakti, he says. Why? Because Uttama Adhikari Bhakta thinks that everyone is a Shuddha Bhakta except me. He feels like that. Anybody who is walking, moving here and there, he feels that all are too busy in Krishna service. The whole world is busy in Krishna service. Like that he feels. And he feels that I am the most fallen soul. I have no devotion to Krishna. Like Mahaprabhu would say, I have no love for Krishna. Otherwise, how can I be alive? Like that he would ask. So, yeah, Uttama Adhikari Bhakta feels like that. But sometimes Uttama Adhikari comes from his platform down to the Madhyama Adhikari's level to please Krishna consciousness. And Madhyama Adhikari is the one who can distinguish between who is a dveshi, who is a innocent person. So, when he sees an innocent person, then a Madhyama Adhikari Bhakta feels compassion and he feels that I should give him bhakti. So he inspires him in Krishna consciousness and brings him. So that is how one gets bhakti. That's how the bhakti is transferred from one person to another person. And then that bhakti is like a spark and it has to be developed into a huge fire of Krishna prema. And can be developed by sadhana and raganuga, bhava and prema. And such it can be developed. So such devotees who have somehow or other achieved the association of such a devotee and have got the spark of bhakti, what happens to them? As time proceeds, as they keep practicing bhakti, over a period of time, they exhibit many qualities. There are about 13 qualities explained. I can try to recollect some of them. The qualities exhibited by a devotee. One is disinterest in materialistic life, but a great eagerness in practicing Krishna consciousness. It's called as Bhagavad Guna Trishna. Bhagavad Guna Trishna means for hearing the Lord's glorious qualities, he has a great Trishna. But the first thing explains that, but for the materialistic things, he has no Trishna, he has no thirst for that. But for hearing the Lord's qualities and pastimes, he has a lot of thirst. Like that. Then such a person also has Kripa, mercy. Kshama means forgiveness. Saralya means simplicity. Saralata. And No, I'll try to recollect. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti so beautifully explains many qualities. So, actually, he gives these qualities. If you see, everyone has humility, for example, explains. He has humility. And respect for others, for every living entity, treating them as a part and parcel of the Lord. That's one of the qualities. Yeah. And samyata means equanimity. Sarilita, samyata. Like that he explains, about 13 qualities he explains. Such devotees are like vehicles of good quality. We carry good qualities with them. As it is explained, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunaisatra samasate sura. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. That verse explains also. So, such devotees of the Lord are most loved by the Lord as one becomes a devotee. Often people think a devotee means a moralist or a good person who is a kind person. Of course, all this is true, but a devotee is this plus much more. Devotee has the most essential element of the attraction for Krishna, which is the most essential aspect of the heart of a devotee. Somebody is sitting on the wire again. So, a devotee, such a devotee who possesses the devotion service in his heart, such a devotee only can attract Krishna. Because bhakti is called as Krishna Akarshani. Krishna Akarshani means that which attracts Krishna. That which attracts even Krishna. The word Krishna itself means all attractive. And Krishna Akarshani means that which attracts Krishna also. See, Prabhupada writes in one place that the yogis and jnanis are rolling at the feet of Krishna, begging Krishna for moksha and yogic siddhis. But Krishna, instead of turning towards them, is turning to the other side, and he is attracted to his devotee's devotion. This is the beauty. While the whole world is at Krishna's feet, begging for materialistic things and yogic siddhis and moksha, the Lord is not interested in that. But when the Lord sees devotion in the heart of a devotee, that attracts him. That is called as Krishna Akarshani. So, in one of the conversations between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit, Parikshit quotes two words, interesting words. He says, Vishanna and Visheshagya. Two words he quotes. So the word Vishanna means one who is very morose. Who is morose in this world? Those living entities who are in the pursuit of materialistic sense gratification, they become morose. Why? Because they are frustrated in their attempts. They chase after the mirage of material pleasures here and there. While chasing, they are enthusiastic, but after some time they get tired and they get frustrated, not able to achieve the kind of pleasure that they were looking for. So they become morose. But Parikshit says, not only they are morose, the impersonalists are also morose, he says. And he says, why? Why the impersonalists are morose? He says, because the impersonalists, they do not hear the glorious pastimes of the Lord. The Lord performs such wonderful activities. They don't partake of hearing those wonderful pastimes, the name, form, pastime qualities of the Lord. And they simply artificially try to negate the material world. And because of that, they also become very morose. But he says that the devotees are not Vishanna, they are Visheshagya. He says that the devotees, they derive a great joy in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. In fact, he says, the first class living entity or first class living being is one who can see every other living being as a part and parcel of Krishna. That's the first class living entity. And the second class living entity is one who can see everyone at least as a representative of Krishna from the spiritual world. And a third class devotee is one who cannot see in that manner, but he is attracted to the deity of the Lord in the temple. But he says, all three of them, they derive great joy in hearing the pastimes of the Lord, devotees. So, the Visheshagya, the quality explains that the Lord's special pastimes which are heard by the devotee, that helps the devotee to very easily control the mind and senses. without much endeavor. Not only that, but a devotee becomes jubilant and joyful, greatly overwhelmed with ecstatic love, hearing such pastimes of the Lord. So the devotee is never morose. Devotee is always joyful. So devotee is emotional, but he is spiritually emotional and not attracted to the false emotions of this world. So in this way, Parikshit Maharaj was glorifying the path of devotional service over the path of impersonalness, which is very relevant here. In the past few verses, there has been a comparison between impersonalism and personalism, isn't it? So he glorifies that devotees are much superior to those impersonalists who are Vishannas, those who are morose, because of not hearing the pastimes of the Lord. So seeing this, Shukadeva Goswami became overwhelmed with devotional ecstasy. And he said, I will narrate you a very wonderful pastime, how the Lord loves such devotees who constantly delight in the pastimes of the Lord, who constantly delight remembering the glorious qualities of the Lord. So in that connection, he recites the pastime of Sudama Vipra. So I would like to take out some valuable lessons from Sudama's life, which are so instructive for every one of us to follow. And he was one such devotee of Lord Krishna, who is often spoken about in India. People know this story. Just like there was Ram, once we were celebrating this Ram's appearance day in the temple once, Ram Nami day. So one devotee had come. So he was telling. So all of you will be thinking that I am going to tell you the story of how Lord Ram, you know, killed Ravana. Everyone in India knows the story of how Ram killed Ravana, isn't it? Everyone knows that Ram was in the forest for 14 years and then Ravana took away Sita and Ram killed Ravana and brought back Sita, and Hanuman was instrumental in that. See, although the story is very simple, the children can probably remember the story. But as we grow up, we have to learn lessons from it, which you can apply in our lives, practically. Then it is something valuable. The same story, but as you grow in age and maturity and depth, you can learn so many valuable lessons from it. And then you can see how it is applicable to our lives. So in that connection, he is telling the Sudama Vipra story. So Sudama, he was a Brahmana friend of the Lord in the Gurukul days. And after he completed his Gurukul period, he got married and he settled, and he was a very poor Brahmana. And it is said, although he was poverty stricken, he always delighted in devotional service. He was always happily situated, he was always cheerful, his mind was peaceful, his senses were controlled, completely controlled. And he was not working very hard to accumulate more and more wealth for making a comfortable position in this world. So these are the qualities explained about Sudama Vipra. It may be surprising to one how one can be poverty stricken and be delighted in devotional service. So that is the nature of devotional service. Devotional service can be performed anywhere, any place, anytime, by anybody. Nobody needs any qualification for devotional service. All one needs is devotion in the heart. And the devotional service gives such transcendental ecstasy for the practitioner. The first step that happens in bhakti is the kleshagni. Kleshagni and shubhada, these two things happen in the beginning. So kleshagni means immediate mitigation of distress. So I had gone to a program like this and I asked the students, so you began chanting and coming here, so what did you experience? So many of them said, one fellow said, sir, I felt very peaceful. Another fellow said, I felt very happy. And another fellow said, I don't know what to say, but I like coming here, he said, and be with devotees. So everyone has their experience that as soon as it began devotion service, the kleshagni comes, which means the sufferings are immediately eradicated. Just like an elephant whose body is burning, it enters into a cooling Ganges water. And he feels all his bhavamaha davagna nirvapana. Like that one's sufferings are mitigated like that. One experiences. That is why one may be very poverty stricken, But you can see many, many devotees who are very poverty stricken but wearing a beautiful tilak, wearing kantimala, the big smile on the face. So you will see that in the poverty cannot affect their happiness. You can see that. So Sudama was like that. And because he was a devotee, his mind and senses were always under control. And he was always peaceful. And his life went on like that. And his wife saw his condition, that this poor Brahmin, all his bones are protruding outside. His body is emaciated. So she took pity on him. And she told him, "My dear husband, you have a friend who is the husband of Goddess of Fortune. And I heard that he never leaves Dwaraka. He always lives there. Anytime you can go and meet him. And he will give you abundant wealth seeing you, and he will remember that you are his old friend. So why don't you approach him and get some wealth and come? I cannot see you in this condition." And he wasn't interested to go to Krishna for demanding anything material from Krishna at all. So he went on dissuading, but over a period of time she kept insisting again and again, and he couldn't refuse. So he thought in his mind that I will go and meet Krishna, and this will be a golden opportunity for me to get darshan of the Lord. So I will go and meet him. Anyway, I will tell her that I will go and ask him for some material benefit, but I will not ask anything. I will just meet him and come back. Simply meeting him will give me great joy. So he thought like that. So here you find how his wife was not interested in her comforts. She was interested only to see that he is happy. She could not tolerate the suffering of the husband. So that was her condition. And see, the husband, he is so happily situated in devotional service. As long as I am a devotee, it is good enough. But the Lord keeps me in poverty or in richness, no problem. And Lord knows what is best for me. Lord. In fact, she also told him, she said, the Lord does not give wealth to those who are very attached to the material things in the world. Because the Lord knows if he gives wealth, then they will misuse it. But the Lord gives wealth to such devotees who will use all the wealth in the Lord's service. The Lord gives abundant wealth. And my dear husband, I know that you have no attachment to material things of the world. So you don't have to fear what will happen by increasing my material position. Because you are so detached, anything the Lord gives you, you will use it in his service. So she said, you should go and ask him. So in this way, both of them were such devotees that they had a very good understanding of what is devotional service and what is material attachment, and how material attachment should be curbed, and how one should remain a devotee in all circumstances. So this is the ideal platform of a family, that the mother of the family is concerned about the family and the father of the family is attached to Krishna. Very wonderful combination. And Sudama making this plan in his mind that I will go and meet Krishna, and I am greatly fortunate. Then his wife said, I will collect some palm full of chipped rice and give you from the neighborhood. So she went to the neighborhood and collected some four palmfuls of chipped rice and packed it in a cloth and gave it to him to offer it as a gift to Krishna. So Sudama took it and he headed towards Dwaraka. There he saw huge palaces with flags flying, and all of them were made of pearls and jewels and corals and emeralds and all kinds of navaratnas and marbles. And then he went to one of those palaces, and he was standing at the doorstep. It was the same palace where Lord Krishna was with Rukmini. So Lord Krishna saw him from a distance, and understanding that his friend has come, and the old friend who was in his Gurukul days, a very intimate friend of his, immediately tears started gliding down the Lord's cheeks. And immediately he rushed to Sudama at the doorstep. He embraced him with both his arms and brought him inside and made him sit on the same seat, the bedstead of Rukmini. He made him sit on that. And the Lord also sat right next to him, and catching his hands, the Lord started asking many, many questions to Sudama. So what did you do after leaving the Gurukul, after completing your Gurukul days? So you must have got married to a Brahmani and you must have settled in life. So the Lord immediately became overwhelmed with thoughts of the Gurukula days. Of course, Krishna served. He washed his feet and he sprinkled the water on his head and he took incense sticks and offered him incense. He offered sandalwood pulp on his body and he offered aratika lamp to him. In the meantime, Rukmini saw that the Brahmana is very fatigued by walking for long distance. So she took the chamar and started showing chamar for him. And all the women in the court, they were all very surprised. They were talking among themselves, hey, did you see what's happening? On one side, the Lord is offering arati, he is washing the feet. And on another side, the goddess of fortune, Rukmini, she is showing chamar. And this Brahmana must have done a lot of pious activities in the past. Otherwise, how is he being served like this by both of them? And did you notice that Lord embraced him? Lord never embraces anybody other than two people, Balram and Rukmini ji. Lord doesn't embrace anybody else. We have never seen him embracing anybody else. And the Lord is actually husband of goddess of fortune. But this person's body, he is wearing tattered clothes, dirty clothes, and his body is so skinny. And he looks to be so poverty stricken. He has come in rags. The Lord is making him sit on his own seat and serving him like this. So he must be really a very important person. So they were all talking amongst themselves. In this way, the Lord made Sudama very, very comfortable. And the Lord sat with him in the bedstead and started talking about the golden days of the past. He glorified the Gurukul training. How wonderful we got training in the house of our Guru, Sandipani Muni. And he related one of the incidents, he remembered very well. How they both were sent by Sandipani Muni's wife to the forest to fetch some firewood. And they got caught in the storm and rain. And they both were tightly embracing one another out of fear of the heavy storm. And the hailstorm and rains. And they couldn't return back in the night. Next day morning, Sandipani Muni goes to fetch them from the forest. And Sandipani Muni becomes very pleased with them. He tells them, oh my disciples, for my sake, how much pains you have taken. I bless you that all the scriptures that I taught you will come to your memory at the right time. Of course, Krishna doesn't need anybody's blessings, but he wants to teach us a lesson. How a disciple should get the blessings of the spiritual master. So the Lord remembered all that wonderful leelas he had with Sudama. And he was talking for a long period of time. And then he asked him, you didn't tell me what you have brought for me. Your wife must have given me some eatable. Please tell me what you have brought. And Sudama immediately bowed his head down. He was ashamed to offer the chipped rice. He looked at the gorgeous palace in which Lord was living. And the kind of foodstuffs that were prepared there, and the kinds of hundreds and thousands of servants he had. How can this low quality chipped rice be served to him? So he's feeling very, very ashamed. But then the Lord, he is antaryami in everyone's hearts. He knows who is carrying what. He knows exactly the heart of everyone. He understood Sudama's heart, that although he is my great devotee, he has brought a gift to offer me. He is feeling shy to offer me. So Lord immediately snatched the cloth bag that was kept in the hip of Sudama and picked it up and opened it. And the Lord told Sudama a very famous verse. You all can repeat that verse.
Anvapi upahritam bhaktai premna bhuryeva me bhavet Bhuryapi abhakto upahritam name toshaya kalpate.
So the Lord told Sudama, hey Sudama, do you know that if my devotee brings even a small offering, like a patram, pushpam, phalam, poem or something like that, the Lord quotes this verse also in Bhagavatam. Same verse what comes in Bhagavad Gita comes in Bhagavatam also. Even if one offers a little bit of water, or a tulasi leaf, or a fruit, anything to me, but it is given out of love. The Lord said, I immediately accept it. It actually becomes very great offering for me, he said. It is said, anu api means a small offering becomes a great offering when it is done with devotion, he said. On the other hand, he said, somebody offers me many, many gorgeous, great things, but there is no element of devotion in that. That I consider to be insignificant. That doesn't please me. Nametoshaya kalpate, he said. It doesn't please me. And then very happily, gladly, the Lord took that packet of chipped rice and picked up a morsel in his hand and put it in his mouth. And Goddess of Fortune Rukmini was standing by his side, watching everything that's happening there. And the Lord tasted it and said, oh, how wonderful it is. Vishnu Chakrabarti gives the explanation. He says that because the chipped rice was not owned by Sudama, it was actually begged according to his dharma. Which is a brahmana, he is supposed to eat by begging. So it was begged from the people, four palmfuls, and it was offered to Lord with great devotion, keeping in mind that this is going to be offered to Lord, like that. That is why Lord found it very, very tasty. You see, in many places in the Shastra we find the Lord trying to taste from the hand of the devotee. There are many examples you will find. Lord is tasting from the hands of Raghunandan Thakur, isn't it? Lord would not accept, generally the deity, whatever the deity accepts, it gives it back, isn't it? But from the hands of Raghunandan, the Lord accepted the laddu. And once he built half of it and gave half back to Raghunandan, isn't it? Similarly, you find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going and accepting from the hands of Swarup Damodar. Raghunath Das Goswami. First Swarup Damodar goes and accepts, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also goes to meet him. Actually, Raghunath Das Goswami exhibited a very high degree of vairagya, renunciation. And he was eating very, very, the burnt foods that were cooked in Jagannath temple and were thrown for the Tailanka cows. And then the cows even could not eat them. So Raghunath Das Goswami would collect them, the hard portions of them, and wash them in water and add some salt. And that was a simple food that he was eating. So Mahaprabhu went and asked Raghunath Das Goswami, what is the nectar you are eating every day without giving me? Let me taste how it is. And he put his hand inside and he tasted it. And he said, this tastes like nectar. You are very fortunate, he said. So what he tasted was not just the ordinary rice. Certainly it must not have been like nectar. Anybody can say that, isn't it? What he tasted is the devotion and detachment of Raghunath Das Goswami. That really touched his heart. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much appreciated the Kolavecha Sridhar's devotion. He was wearing tattered clothes. It is said that his clothes had more stitches than the holes on the roof of his house. Now, wherever there would be a hole, immediately he would put it like this and he would tie it. There were many, many knots all over his clothes everywhere. So he was living a very, very simple life. But he was blissful, always chanting Hare Krishna. So Lord Nimai Pandit told him that you are keeping a great treasure hidden in your house, although you are putting a show like a beggar. And Kolavecha would say, my dear Lord, what treasure I have? I have nothing. My house is open, if you want you can see it. Isn't it? So, but Lord said, one day I will reveal your treasure to the world. And one day on the Harinam party, when the Lord was going to that house of Chandkazi, on that day the Lord wanted to reveal the glory of Sridhar. During that Harinam, he went to the Kolavecha Sridhar's house. And there was a pot kept there, which was having some dent. That was actually used for washing the legs and for cleaning purposes. It was kept. There was water kept. And the Lord went and picked up that pot and started drinking the water. And Kolavecha came running outside and said, alas, alas, I am dead, I am gone. Lord is drinking from a pot. And all the devotees assembled there understood the greatness of Kolavecha Sridhar. Lord is so pleased with him that he is drinking from his dented pot. So Lord tastes the devotion of his devotee. So here also the Lord appreciated the chipped rice brought by Sudama Vipra. I think Shuklambar Brahmachari is bag. He used to carry a bag. He is the same Sudama, yeah. Sudama comes as Shuklambar Brahmachari in Chaitanya Leela also. The same person. Oh, that is in spontaneous love. That is also true, yeah. But we are talking common examples when Lord comes in this world. So, when the Lord was tasting, Rukmini was observing. In fact, it is said, when Lord tastes something from a devotee, or if a devotee is feeding the Lord, foodstuffs, cooked with devotion, then it becomes a Rukmini's obligation, because she is the Lakshmi. It becomes her obligation to go to the devotee's house and fill up the house with abundant riches. It is said. So Rukmini thought, now I have a lot of homework now. Lord is eating morsel after morsel. So when the Lord took the second morsel of chipped rice to put in the mouth, Rukmini caught his hands and said, my dear Lord, it is enough. If you eat everything, what about all of us, myself and all the queens, we are waiting. So we also want to have some chipped rice. Please leave something for us, she said. Actually, the reason why she stopped him was not that other queens will have to eat the chipped rice. She was very worried that Lord is eating this hard chipped rice. It will go and get stuck up in the stomach. It will cause pain to the Lord. Lord's body is so soft. So she thought that she should not allow him to eat anything more. In fact, she said, one morsel of food when you eat, you can offer so much opulences to your devotee, much greater than what King Indra has. So this is good enough what you have eaten now, she said. So she didn't let him eat further. So Sudama Vipra stayed there after the Lord was talking to him for a long time, and he put him to sleep. Lord personally massaged his body, massaged his leg. When he was sleeping, he felt as if he was in Vaikuntha. Actually it was Vaikuntha only. It was the house of Krishna where Lord is residing. And the next day morning he got up and he was walking back towards his house. He took leave. And while he was returning back, he was thinking, how much the Lord loves Brahminical culture. How much the Lord loves the Brahmanas. He himself is setting an example by serving the Brahmins. I am such a poor Brahmin, wearing this tattered clothes, dirty clothes, and Lord made me sit in the bedstead and he washed my feet. He performed arati for me, he offered such prasadam to me. The goddess of fortune was fanning me. She is the wife of the Lord, and she was fanning me. So he was repeatedly thinking of this, and then he said an interesting verse. He says that there are many people aspiring to go to heavenly planets, and some people want to go to Brahman and merge in Brahman and become free from cycle of birth and death. But no devotee will want to achieve any of this, because the pleasure that is experienced by one who goes to heaven or Brahman, that is insignificant compared to the pleasure that a devotee can derive in the company of the Lord. And I got that. Oh, I am so fortunate. So he sang this famous verse. He said, Kvaham daridra papiyan kva krishna shri niketanah brahma bandhuriti smaham bahubhyam parirambitah. He said, who is the Lord and who am I? He said, the Lord is Shriniketan. Shriniketan means the husband of goddess of fortune. And who am I? I am a Brahma Bandhu. Brahma Bandhu means not even a Brahmana. A friend of a Brahmana, that means Brahma Bandhu. See, Brahma Bandhu means like a reject Brahman. One who is born in a Brahmana family but who does not exhibit any Brahminical qualities. He is indulging in all kinds of activities. He is not in a Brahminical platform. So Dvija Bandhu or Brahma Bandhu we call them. So Sudama called himself a Brahma Bandhu, although he was a Brahmana. Out of his humility, he called himself a Brahma Bandhu. Brahma Bandhu Riti Smaham Bahubhyam Parirambitah. Still Lord with his own divine hands he embraced me to his chest. How much the Lord loves his devotees. He said, what more wealth can one attain in this world than being a devotee of such a sweet Lord who serves his devotees, who loves his devotees, who loves the Brahminical culture. So in this way he was glorifying. And every moment he spent in the palace of Krishna came to his mind constantly. He didn't even realize that he was returning home. Constantly, 24 hours he was absorbed. Maam Dhyayanta. So he was absorbed in that manner, in the Lord's nectarian pastimes. And then a thought came to his mind, although I went to meet him, Lord saw my poverty stricken condition. Still he did not give me even one single penny. I know his mind very well, why he didn't give me. He must have thought that if I give any money to this rascal, he will misuse it and become attached to the material world. How wonderful is the Lord that he knows my nature, that he did not give me any wealth. Like that he thought. So this way I appreciated the Lord, that the Lord is very intelligent. He knows how to act differently with different people. So in this way, while thinking, when he returned home, in the same place where the house was supposed to be there, instead he found as if it was like the sun and moon had arisen together. There were huge palaces, marble palaces, in the same place. There were maid servants and servants who were dressed in fine clothes. They themselves looked like very wealthy people. And they were there to greet him. So he asked, "Who are you? Whose place is this? Where is the house which was here in this place?" And then he saw there were several floors and several hundreds and hundreds of men, and there were beautiful cows also running here and there. So his wife came, and she was dressed in, actually his wife was actually lying down in the thatched cottage. She was lying with rags. She was sleeping, and all of a sudden she found her body totally changed and dressed in costly silken sarees and costly ornaments decorating her body. It came as a big surprise to her. She was shocked in the beginning, and then she understood, maybe this must be the blessing of Krishna. Krishna must have blessed from there, from Dwarka. And his wife came. First he couldn't even recognize his wife, who it was. And the servants had to introduce him. "This is your wife." And they both had tears brimming from their eyes. And she took him inside the house to show everything. So in this way, the house had turned into a very great palace with many, many servants. So Sudama was beholding the beauty of the house with everything. But he always remained in the same platform of being Krishna conscious. He never became attached to the facilities. Jiva Goswami explains that he had a subtle pride in his mind that I am a very detached Brahmana. Because, you know, everyone in this world can become afflicted by the diseases of pride, lust, envy, anger, greed and things like that. He has some subtle pride. But then, because he went to Dwaraka, met the Lord personally, and he saw how the Lord washed his feet and served him, the thought of that kept repeatedly coming in his mind. And that humbled him and wiped off the pride that he had. If Lord is so humble in serving his devotees, what is the use of me being proud of my detachment? So he gave up that pride also, which arose from detachment. And he utilized all the resources and facilities that Lord gave in his service. And at last it is explained. So it is explained how Sudama lived in this world happily with all those facilities given by the Lord, serving the Lord. And after it is explained, after completing his term in the material world, how he went back home, back to Godhead. He returned back to the spiritual world. And how he eternally got the association of the Lord. Like that. So this pastime explains many things. How the Lord serves his devotees. How the Lord derives great joy in serving his devotees. Like we see Krishna riding the chariot of Arjuna. Or here Krishna serving Sudama. Or Krishna serving the Pandavas. Why has Lord got no other business that he is going here and there serving the Pandavas? You can see that how he is serving the Pandavas. You know, he is giving ideas to the Pandavas how to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. Isn't it? He is riding the chariot of Arjuna. And he goes to different places wherever the Pandavas are, and all the time trying to give them direction. And he is offering obeisances to Yudhishthira, embracing Arjuna. And the Lord deals just like any ordinary person with his devotees. But we can see the Lord is very fond of serving his devotees. And pleasing the devotee and making the devotee happy. That is the mission of the Lord. He wants to see that his devotees are happy. In the same way, you find that the devotees also want to see the Lord happy. And that is their only goal. So this is the platform of pure devotion. As the Lord Vishnu told దుర్వాసముని
సాధవో హృదయం మహ్యం సాధూనాం హృదయం త్వహం మదన్యతే న జానంతి నాహం తేభ్యో మనాగపి.
హి సేస్ దట్ ఐ ఆమ్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ మై డివోటీ.
సాధవో హృదయం మహ్యం,
మహ్యం ఇన్ మై, ద సాధు ఇస్ ఇన్ మై హార్ట్ అండ్ ఐ ఆమ్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ మై డివోటీ అండ్ మై డివోటీ డస్ నాట్ నో ఎనీథింగ్ బట్ మీ అండ్ ఐ డో నాట్ నో ఎనీథింగ్ బట్ మై డివోటీ. హే సుమో ఇస్ దాట్ ఫర్ దెమ్ నో? సుమో విల్ టేక్ యూ, దే హ్యావ్ టు గో బ్యాక్ టు టాక్స్ అబౌట్ హిస్ ఓన్ డివోటీ, హౌ మచ్ హి లవ్స్ హిస్ డివోటీస్. దట్స్ వై ఐ వాస్ టెల్లింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వాయిస్ ఆల్సో లార్డ్ సేస్ హౌ మై డివోటీస్ లవ్ మీ. సీ ద ఫస్ట్ లైన్ సేస్ ఏ తు సర్వాణి కర్మాణి మయి సన్యస్య మత్పరాః అనన్యేనైవ యోగేన మాం ధ్యాయంత ఉపాసతే. వాట్ డూ మై డివోటీస్ డూ ఫర్ మీ? దే రినౌన్స్ ఆల్ దర్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఫర్ మీ అండ్ అనన్యేనైవ యోగేన మీన్స్ వితౌట్ డైవర్టింగ్ దర్ అటెన్షన్ టు ఎనీ అదర్ మెటీరియలిస్టిక్ పర్స్యూట్స్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్. మై డివోటీస్ ఇన్ అ ఫోకస్డ్ మేనర్ వితౌట్ టేకింగ్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ డెమిగాడ్స్, వితౌట్ టేకింగ్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ వెల్దీ పీపుల్, వితౌట్ టేకింగ్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ దర్ ఓన్ మెటీరియల్ ప్రోగ్రెస్, మై డివోటీ ఈస్ టోటలీ టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ మీ. అనన్యేనైవ యోగేన మాం ధ్యాయంత ఉపాసతే. దే ఆల్వేస్ మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ మీ హోల్ హార్టెడ్లీ. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ డివోటీ. అండ్ దెన్ హి సేస్ వాట్ డు ఐ డూ ఫర్ మై డివోటీస్?
తేషామహం సముద్ధర్త మృత్యు సంసార సాగరాత్ భవామి నచిరాత్ పార్త మయ్యావేశిత చేతస.
So this is what I do for my devotee. I personally deliver my devotee from this mrityu samsara sagar. There is another verse also which says in Bhagavad Gita, mat prasada tarishyati. You know that? It comes later. That by my mercy my devotee is delivered from this material world. And then in our next verse says, atat chetva imam dharmyam. He says that you know one verse before that? Yeah. Mat prasada tarishyati. He says my devotees are delivered from this world by my mercy. And here he says I myself deliver them. Like you see, why should Krishna and Rukmini render service to this poor Brahman? Lord likes serving directly. He can appoint some servants to do that. Hey, you have the verse? You got it?
Mat chitta sarva durgani.
Then?
మత్ ప్రసాదాత్ తరిష్యసి అతత్ చేత్వం అహంకారం.
నాగనేశ్వసి బిఫోర్ దట్ మచ్చిత్త సర్వ దుర్గాని మత్ ప్రసాదాత్ తరిష్యసి. సచ్ అ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వర్డ్స్. మై డివోటీస్ హూ ఫోకస్ దర్ అటెన్షన్ ఆన్ మీ మత్ ప్రసాదాత్ తరిష్యసి, ఐ గివ్ దెమ్ ద మర్సీ అండ్ దే గెట్ డెలివర్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. So that is the Prabhupada says here that a devotee's method of getting delivered from this world is different from that of jnanis and yogis. The yogis have to worry about, you know, I am dying in the day or in the night. You know, they have to try to die in the day, you know, somehow. And they have to plug all the nine holes of their body, so that they can come through the kapala. They can break the kapala and come out. And they can go to any planet they want. For that they have to close all the holes of the body. Otherwise, if somebody, some soul is passing through the anus, one can become an animal and one will go to hell. If one comes up through the eyes, one will become a brahmana, like that. So whichever hole the soul takes to come out, of course soul doesn't have to take any hole, but the prana takes one of the holes, the prana in the body, and whichever hole the prana takes and goes out, the soul also passes through the same hole, like that. So the yogis have to really worry about it. That is very careful. Now I am going to die, I have to close all the holes of the body. That's why they sit in a particular posture, to close the anus, rectum and all the different holes of the body. Very tough thing. Anybody want to try it? Even if you go to yoga classes, they will not teach you properly. Very difficult. And jnanis also have a tough time controlling their mind and senses. And constantly the waves of sense gratification. Sroto ganatta maranam bhaja vasudeva. Constantly there is a threat of falling prey to the senses, in the mind. But the bhakta's process is very simple. He takes shelter of Krishna and Krishna delivers devotee. Hare Krishna.